This is a Baby Theory Podcast.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. It's a me.
It's happening. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm just getting a blurb to be better.
Okay, that's fine.
Later on. Doing the fucking work because you can, apparently.
Sure, I'll believe you.
Shouldn't swear.
We should say that it's the boys. It's the Strange Bedfellows. Right. We're recording live.
Yeah, from Danbury, as always. From beautiful Danbury.
Yeah, beautiful Danbury.
Connecticut.
And guess what? It's
the original home of podcasting. Sorry, I wasn't talking to the mic that whole time. I was getting that little speech ready to text to you.
Perfect. It's back to school.
It's the original home of podcasting, Danbury, Connecticut. It's back to school. All the kids are at the library today, like playing, it looks like Call of Duty over in the computer area.
Yeah.
They're having like a LAN party. It looks so much fun. it looks like so much fun.
Danbury Library. It just, it offers podcasting booths for old men. Yeah. And then all the boys can have a LAN party where they play Call of Duty.
It might be Roblox, actually.
Yeah. It's what I was going to say is it's back to school, but it's still hot out, which means that we've got time for one last splash.
It's pathetic.
What?
What's happening?
What?
That we're still in the summer of Sandra. It's after Labor Day. It's well into September when we're recording this.
Well, is this?
I can't imagine when it's going to come out.
Wearing white after Labor Day.
Yeah, continuing the summer of Sandra. Like,
it's such a faux pas.
What's after September? October?
Yeah, we would.
Jesus!
Wait, is that going to happen for listeners?
It might. I'm not going to do the math, especially if we do Simple Plan.
That's tough. That's a tough hit. It's still the summer of Sandra. Bear with us. It's because of global warming, so
it's
that's
cause
fun.
Of global warming, yeah. It's El Nino. We have some, I guess we should share, though.
Yeah.
We're going to stop.
No, this is the last one.
And we're going to... We've got some ideas.
We have some just the beginnings of some ideas.
I think we'll probably want listener feedback on these ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do we want to say them now or no?
No. Let's save it for the end.
No.
Because it's where we're headed next.
I think we just have to put it in the Facebook group because if for
We'll put it in the Facebook group too. We'll announce where we could potentially be headed next at the end of the episode.
Perfect.
And then we'll put it in the Facebook group. And you can come join the Facebook group if you're not in there already.
Yeah, and then people who are living 3 weeks in the future and hear this episode 3 weeks before it comes out and then see the post in the Facebook group will be like, oh, great, that worked really well. That kind of synced up super good.
Oh, I can guess what they would guess. Well, we could wait.
We'll put it in the Facebook group. We have some ideas, and you've either have heard them or not. But it's we're going to do another content block.
We'll do
after the summer of Sandra.
Something.
And you know why? Partially, it's not because summer's over. It's because Sandra's over. And I don't mean Sandra's over. She's America's sweetheart. But we did watch all of her movies.
Not all of them. We didn't watch the one where she helps a football boy become like a professional football player. But you know what? That one's got some heat on it right now.
That one's got some heat on it. And it's like really hard to justify, A, because of the heat, and B, like in terms of like its genre, which is nothing.
Yeah.
It's a football movie.
That one's a skip. We skipped some others, but we watched this one.
Yeah.
An early Summer of Sandra classic.
This movie is called Love Potion Number 9.
And some dude.
With some dude. You want to know what Sarah told me? I guess anyone could know this in the same way that Sarah did because she just looks shit up.
Yeah.
That's Sandra's boyfriend. The man in this movie was Sandra's long-term boyfriend at the time.
At the time? Are they still together?
No. Yeah.
She dumped him for that white supremacist.
Did she?
The motorcycle guy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Jesse James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be libel. I don't know if he's a white supremacist. He might not be.
I'll bleep the thing.
Or he might be.
I'll bleep the thing that you've called him.
I'll just say it just cleanly.
Yeah.
Jesse
Yeah.
James.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock's current or former husband.
Yes.
May or may not be a white supremacist.
Right. And we don't know.
Yeah. And you can bleep it.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Yeah. I guess I'll look it up.
Some dude's in this. He's Sandra Bullock's boyfriend at the time, apparently.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And they both look like shit. They made Sandra look like shit. Like, it's a running
joke. They made Sandra look like shit. Oh, yeah.
Hey, actually, let me run this theory by you. It's Love Potion number 9.
He's Hercules,
it's
an early Sandra the guy.
Movie. You
he,
and
he
I.
He has like no movie credits except he was Disney's Hercules in Disney's Hercules.
You and I.
And he still trots it out for like the Kingdom Hearts games.
At this point, I think it's fair to say, are the world experts on Sandra Bullock outside of Sandra Bullock and maybe Jesse James?
Yeah, and Disney's Hercules.
And Disney's Hercules.
Yeah.
We know more about Sandra than probably she knows about herself.
Yeah.
Most people.
Who's her most common co-host? Is there an easy way to figure that out?
Okay. A lot of other people would have thought that was the preamble to saying something, but you seem to think that I just finished there, that I just wanted to kind of put that out on the record, and now we're done with it.
Most frequent co-star.
But I guess I should now say that that's not true. I did have a thought that I was going to say.
Ooh.
Kind of ancillary to that. That was kind of
which co-star did Sandra Bullock have a hard time working with since she had such a big crush on him?
Keanu.
Do you think that's right?
Obviously.
Wow, this is a lot of text.
It's Keanu. Just trust me.
It's Keanu.
Yeah. And that's the answer. But listen, we're world experts on Sandra Bullock. And one thing we know about Sandra is that in every movie, it's like important for her to like, quote unquote, look like shit. And
yeah,
it's like, oh, she looks like shit, but she's a babe. But I think that the reason for that is because this is one of her earliest movies, and she actually did look like shit. And she's like always trying to recapture that magic. They actually made her look like fucking
ass.
They
do a pretty good job. It doesn't always work because clearly like it was meant for like 1993 screens.
Yeah.
Like you can see the little bit of putty they put between her teeth to make it look like she has gap teeth. But
yeah. They did the best job
really
anyone's
job.
Ever
like,
done,
she,
and a lot
like
of people have tried.
Trim her facial hair for a couple weeks, and like,
well, she has like got big bushy. Sarah and I were trying to analyze
on her.
It. They gave her like extra bushy eyebrows, and then she's got
a little bit
something
of
something in her lip.
The big gap between her teeth.
They give her like really good bad fake teeth. She doesn't look.
Big
I think
glasses.
It's not even that she looks bad. It's that I know that that's Sandra under there.
Well, and it doesn't take
and it's
long for her to...
The effect is jarring. But she gets more...
We should talk about the movie.
Okay, that is talking about the
movie. I know.
Movie.
I'm just saying, it quickly, she becomes not a dork.
Yeah.
And it's under dicey circumstances.
This movie's a fucking ride.
I think it's actually fine. She finds a way... So we should... I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
But she does take advantage of the fact that she becomes beautiful.
Yeah.
And she does find a way to justify it. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. I was saying to Sarah, tell me if this is okay to say or whether we need to bleep all of it. I think it's not just okay to say, but like good to say. Like I should get a fucking award. There goes my hero for me saying this.
Hit me.
I think that it's, although there are many things that are kind of formulaic and in retrospect, problematic about this film, I thought that it was a breath of fresh air that they decided that even though she's like a nerdy scientist, she fucks.
Oh, yeah. She fucks a lot of – she fucks a lot.
But no, like even early on – even before she takes the love potion, she's got like a booty
buddy.
Call. Yeah.
And some like dude from her past who like doesn't treat her well, but
I thought that was brave. I've almost never seen that stereotype.
A
you know, like the moment. Like what is it, ugly duckling stories?
Yeah.
Like early on, like the point is that the ugly duckling can't get a date. Ugly duckling doesn't fuck in that story. I haven't read it in a
this
while.
This movie's so complex. We'll get into the magic system because it's not an ugly duckling story. They want you to think it is.
Yeah.
But it's like a Disney like villain story.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
I
like
could
a
see
Disney
that.
Movie.
Yeah, it's kind of a Disney movie. She's literally a princess at some point.
Yeah, and there's like literally like a villain who like wears a snake ring and uses magic potions to like
what a
control
ride.
People.
What a ride.
We got to get into it.
I thought this was going to suck, and it didn't. It was not a perfect
Let's
film.
We sort of did dramatis personae.
Yeah, it's Sandra
Sandra's
and her boyfriend.
And Hercules.
Yeah.
And then...
That's it.
There's a Roma woman.
Yeah, sure. Yes, there are other actors in the film.
And then there's two bad guys.
Yes. Two big bad guys. Wait, two?
There's the oaf.
The oaf.
There's a lot of oafs in Sandra movies. The guy who gives her love potion number 9 and whom she almost marries at the end of the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. He's a trickster.
The guy
yeah.
wearing the ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the opportunist woman who's actually
oh, yeah.
great.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's Hercules is bad guy.
Yeah.
We should say the plot because I think a lot of people haven't seen this one.
You should – I would give it a watch. It's pretty interesting.
It's based on the song.
It's based on a song. Yeah.
Which is funny.
I spun up that idea in my head a little bit last night. Like what are some other sort of like songs as
I've
Sandra
got the
vehicles?
Answer for you. I've got two answers off the dome.
Yeah.
One –
Monster Mash.
R.I.P. Steve Harwell, but All-Star.
Yeah, I was thinking classic love songs, but you're going.
If we wanted to make a movie, and it would be around the same like distance in time, I think,
yeah.
about like a classic song from the past, would you not want to see All Star dramatized?
I don't know if I know the song well enough to know like what the plot of it is.
Okay, well, let me throw you another one, and then we can.
What about Cakes the Distance? It could kind of be about like.
Speed Racer.
Speed Racer, yeah.
That's good.
And I think maybe like sex.
I really think we've been over this. Yeah.
it's about masturbation.
That's what
it.
You think. We looked it up. It's not. It's just weird that you think that.
I think it's about masturbation, which would be interesting for a Sandra vehicle.
Listen, I have the actual answer. All-Star was a head fake.
It was to get me off on.
Yeah. I want you to consider this picture. Ready? Yeah. Mambo number 5.
It's sort of.
That would be a perfect movie. Tell
would
me it
would.
Would
be a spiritual squeakquel, I think, to Love Potion number 9.
Yeah, you can feel the call of it, right?
It's that he has, as a microbiologist, so we should explain the plot of this movie. He and Sandra, Hercules and Sandra are microbiologists.
They're microbiologists.
On a bachelor's weekend, Hercules goes to yeah. a fortune teller.
It's a very odd choice they make. I think that they're aware of how funny it is. But the voiceover goes,
about once a month, my friends and I get together and do something different for fun. Sometimes we go bowling or miniature golf or a movie or something. One night, we went down to a gypsy palm reader on 34th and Vine.
and they do.
They do. And
he's
like,
told that he will never get love, and she sells him love potion number 8.
Yeah.
What? I thought the movie was called Love Potion.
Yeah,
number 9.
I thought so too. Oh, God. I thought they've made a terrible mistake. They misread the
Someone
number of the
up.
Love Potion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it turns out that it's. And I guess as we describe the movie, we should probably start to pick apart the magic system.
Oh, I want that. Yeah, very much.
Because we've already got our first.
Because we need to
potion.
Know what the other love potions are.
Here's Love Potion number 8, and here's the rules around it.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about the rules. But wait, first tell me. What's that Craig David song where he's like talking about every different day of the week?
Oh, yeah. Monday, I am going
to bed. No, that's the Cure. That's the Cure.
Tuesday,
Stop
Wednesday.
It.
Yeah.
But is that like a different girl every day? Because it could be that, too. But I like Mambo number 5 for that because it's like there's just like pratfalls, right? There's like Monica. He's got Monica on his mind, but who's coming over? Sandra in the sun, you know? I just feel like there's legs there.
I think it's good. I think at the end of this movie, they've gotten rid of all the love potion number 9 and
Wait,
8.
Does he say Sandra in the Sun? Do you think that's about
that's
Summer
Sandra
of Sandra?
Yeah, that's Sandra Bullock.
Do you think that's literally...
I'm trying to help you develop this movie.
Okay, fine.
It's a sequel to Love Potion number 9. He's gotten rid of all the love potions.
Yes.
Too dangerous.
Yeah.
But he can't forget the principles behind it. He can't forget the science.
Okay.
And he becomes obsessed.
Yeah.
And he... develops a song, like
a song
an infernal mambo
wow.
that instills the magic of Love Potion number 8.
Okay,
but
that's
within
pretty good.
The like,
yeah,
the chorus.
So he just has to sing Mambo number 5. So the rules of this,
and it summons women.
Tell me, let's get into the magic lore here. The rules are with well, number 8. If
the
you
first
speak,
potion he acquires is number 8, you spray it in your mouth. It affects your vocal cords.
Yeah.
And anyone of the opposite sex,
who hears
regardless of sexual orientation,
yeah.
we discover, will be immediately
attracted
to you.
Hopelessly.
Yeah. And if you do just a little,
yeah.
they'll just be like attracted
yeah.
to you as though someone were attracted to you. Like
yeah.
interested in you, interested in what
but
you
But if
have
you
to
like
say.
Mainline it, they just
If you
like...
mainline it, they will come at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that happens a couple times. It's actually, I think we should probably discuss whether or not we want to include some of Sandra's like pretty dodgy science in The Summer of Samdra.
Yeah.
Because she does give a girl monkey potion number 8.
Right.
And it does cause a boy monkey to run into the room and hump her cage so much that he nearly dies.
Yeah.
And it does. No one dies, but it definitely does feel...
It's played for laughs.
Bad.
But it feels bad just overall.
Feels like a bad thing to do to anyone or anything.
Yeah. Well, and monkeys.
And monkeys, yeah.
Pretty grim. Okay, yeah. So that's the... But we know the rules. So
here's the rules to Love Potion number 8.
Yeah.
You give it to somebody.
You give it to yourself.
You give it to yourself, and everyone of the opposite gender becomes attracted to you for 4 hours.
Right.
If they hear your voice, it stimulates some little follicles.
4 hours.
Ear.
Yeah.
In that time, they will be in love with you. Afterwards, the charm will wear off.
It wears off, but it's not like Friends.
It's not like
the Friends spell in D&D. So the Friends spell in D&D, the way that it works is they are charmed in a similar way that they are like well disposed towards you.
Yeah.
But when it wears off, they know that they've been manipulated.
And usually and they're mad about it.
Mad about it.
But in this, like...
In this, it doesn't seem like they're...
People are only mad when they've been, like, conned, which almost everyone is by...
Yeah.
The, like, trickster woman.
Right, yeah. Yeah, who she just, like, figures out the science of it and just, like, takes it all the time and, like...
She's great.
Persuades men to, like, put all of their valuables in the trunk of her car. It's pretty funny.
She's really funny. She gets hers at the end, though.
Yeah.
Actually, she doesn't.
No,
she learns fine. That she can sort of, like... enthrall and command an army of men.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I don't... Do we ever see what message. Happens with that?
I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe the sequel is like...
I think she's literally in command of like an army of Brad like 200 Pitt. Men, including like armed police officers.
It has Z in it.
And then they're like World War Z?
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, back to the main plot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Love Potion number 8.
That's the rules.
They're not...
Oh, and...
if you take too much of it...
Yeah.
The opposite sex will want to come hump you so badly that they will stop at nothing to do it.
Yeah.
Which we discovered actually has a secret side effect of enthralling the opposite sex.
Yeah, you can get them to do anything you want. But
also the opposite gender.
The same gender.
Sorry, the same gender will
despise you. Is mad at you.
And again, this is despite sexual orientation. At the 27-minute mark, Sandra is experimenting with Love Potion number 8. And she's trying to get out of a bunch of tickets.
Yeah.
And she goes to, like, the insurance company. And she walks up to the cubicle of a man that they do everything in their power, in their 1992 power, to communicate as a gay man.
Yeah.
He's got, like, pictures of himself with his husband. He's got, like, hunk posters, like, up in his cubicle. Yeah. He's listening to YMCA.
Yeah.
And she, like, does it to him.
Right.
And, like, manages to, like, trick him.
Absolutely.
Into, like,
immediately falls
that's,
in love.
That's also powerful. Pretty, like, immoral.
Excuse me. Who would be Ms. Marino's supervisor?
That would be the district manager, Dick Webster.
Well, the whole thing
she probably
is pretty
like, shook that man's entire foundation.
They had this. So I want to talk about
but
the morality.
He probably went home to his husband. He's like, I don't love.
Oh, yeah, that's brutal.
My entire identity is like
I hadn't thought about
destroyed.
That.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And so early on in the film, I had remarked to Sarah because they were like early on the nerdy Hercules and they make him look like shit, too. But they don't give him false teeth. They just like part his hair bad and it works.
If you haven't seen the movie, the guy he looks exactly like is the guy who's not the short, nerdy, round guy in Peep Show. It's the other guy who's in Peep
That's
Show.
That's exactly who he looks like, Mitchell and Webb.
Yeah.
He's either Mitchell or Webb.
Yeah.
He early on is like horribly rejected at a bar by a babe who's like really mean to him. And then
she's really mean.
As
really
a biochemist, he
if she
and
said all the things she said to him. If someone said that to me, that would really hurt my feelings.
I would be really hurt.
Well, you're right. We're not really suited for each other, and so I'll just go and get myself a chemical girl.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to make a point. I tell you what, I'll go home with you tonight and be your total sex slave if you can answer one question correctly.
All right.
Who designed this top?
wouldn't know.
But bye now.
Yeah, it's pretty hurtful. As a biochemist, he decides that he like gets the love potion, and instead of like doing standard love potion stuff, he's like, we have to study this, and it's like our duty to like do experiments with it. They decide to experiment on themselves, and then he goes to the bar, and I turned to Sarah and was like, oh man, this is gonna be like, I guess it's fine for us to watch it, but it's gonna be tough to deal with the fact that he's basically gonna like magic potion this woman into sleeping with him.
Oh yeah, but then he doesn't.
But then he doesn't. He just like makes her like
he does something
be into
much
him
worse.
And he and then like rejects her.
So then why don't we just get out of here? You
can't go back to my place. Okay. Okay, I'll go home with you. I'll go home with you. And I'll be everything you've ever wanted in a man. If you can answer one question correctly.
What?
How do you synthesize a methylated alkaloid?
I don't know.
Bye now.
And I was like, oh, good. The film does have a moral center. And then the next scene is like, exterior, a sorority house.
it's a long sequence outside of a sorority house where it's doing like Beethoven's Fifth, yeah. And the lights in the house are going on as he's going room to room, having sex with young women, and it's hilarious.
It's
the movie's like, this is the funniest thing. He gets arrested for panty raid laws.
I learned a lot that night. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about women. I also learned about a rarely known panty raid law, which prohibits men to be in a sorority house after 9 p.m.
And in the next scene, he's tough. Like, sorry.
Yeah. But so that's the thing. They both decide that they are going to love potion number 9 each other. But what we know is that
they're going to do everything in their power to not love potion number. They can't speak. In front of one another.
Right. They're going to try it themselves, but they won't fall in love with each other. But what we know is that they are perfect for each other.
Of course. He's always been in love with her, too. He admits that at the beginning of the movie.
And the reason we know this is that at the 15-minute mark, we see both of their apartments. I don't know why I said the mark. It's very visual. But it shows that they have the same art. And she is reading Nausea by Jean-Paul Sartre. And he is reading Being and Nothingness by Jean-Paul Sartre.
Wow.
Which leads me to say—
two completely different books.
Tanner— that I have a great story about Being in Nothingness by Jean-Paul Sartre.
How could you possibly?
I have a great story, and it's an original story.
An oxymoron.
It's great. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So good. Okay, where to start? Let's see. Do you know who Hubert Dreyfus is, the philosopher?
No.
He's a Berkeley philosopher who's a world expert on Heidegger. Recently passed.
Known anti-Semite Heidegger.
Sure. This story touches on that.
Great.
When I interviewed Hubert Dreyfus many years ago for an article that I never published.
Sure. Why would you?
But he and I spent a pretty lovely couple of days driving around Berkeley in his fancy car.
Sounds great.
Talking about his experiences with the philosopher Heidegger.
Who he knew.
Whom he knew.
Mm-hmm. He's an old man then.
Yes, sure.
Heidegger died a long time ago, right?
Yes. Heidegger, after the war, everyone was like,
the big one.
You're bad.
The first one?
No,
the second one.
Yeah.
That was relevant to his.
Everyone was like, you're bad. You suck. You're terrible. And so he was like, had fallen out of favor with everyone. Everyone hated him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jean-Paul Sartre had written Being a Nothingness, which was inspired directly by Heidegger's work.
Okay.
I can't believe you're letting me tell this
story. Is there more to the story?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it lands.
And so Heidegger wrote this like cloying letter to Jean-Paul Sartre where he was Being a Nothingness, it's so good. You're the only one who understands me, because he wanted to get back into the good graces
of the philosophical community. He wasn't mad?
Well, he had written this letter. It's on record. But what Hubert Dreyfus told me is that when he went to visit Heidegger, Heidegger had Being in Nothingness on the table of his office. And Hubert Dreyfus was like, oh, Being in Nothingness, what do you think? And Heidegger was like, I haven't read this fucking shit.
Yeah, he seems like he would be a prick, mostly because of the anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me get through that whole story.
Of course, yeah. Anything to get Robert Dreyfuss's name out there.
Hubert.
Love potion number 9. She uses it on a gay man. Where are my notes here? Where are we? It's so tricky to talk about, and I guess we'll just kind of have to put the ethics of all this aside.
Yeah.
She does a good job of experimenting with love potion number 9.
She does a good job.
She uses it to
just like test
rich and get a makeover start dating like
the literal prince
auto
of
manufacturers and the Prince of England.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he uses it the bad way.
Like he tries to like get revenge on a woman at a club.
Yeah.
He does extremely questionable things at a sorority and gets arrested and then gets tricked.
Gets tricked by both the bad guy, good guy.
Yeah.
Who figures out the love potion number 8 scheme.
Yeah.
Goes to the Roma woman.
Yeah.
And says, can I have some?
Yeah.
And he buys the whole bottle.
Right.
And then he gets tricked by the trickster who also uses love potion to steal all his stuff, including the love potion number 8, which I guess gets us to
love potion number
9. Love potion number 9.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that this was intended by the song.
Everything leading up to
love potion. Like the magic system, I'm not sure. I have it. It's been a while.
Well, they have to do something. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed they didn't dig deeper. Like, I want to know about love potion number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Do you think we can?
Let's explain the rules behind love potion number 9 first.
What is it the guy said? Backtrace. Do you think we can backtrace what the other love potions are with the information that we have about 8 and 9?
Here's what 9 does.
Yeah.
9 is like the one ring.
It's the one ring to rule them all. Yes, exactly.
You spray it in the mouth. You have to give it to somebody who you suspect is under the thrall of somebody else. Or even just somebody who you think loves you. And in
you
giving it to them,
get it in them.
They will realize
then
that
you gotta
they love
kiss
you.
Them.
Then you have to kiss them.
Yeah.
And within 5 minutes, they will realize that they love you, and you will be together for the rest of the life.
If
rest of your lives, unless
they don't
they
actually
don't
love
you.
So you both have to be in real love.
Yeah.
Or have been in real love at some point.
If you ever loved each other, and you both take this potion, you will love each other again, as much as you ever loved each other. Are you absolutely sure she was in love with you?
Why?
If you both take this potion and you are in love with her, but she never really was in love with you, you will love her for the rest of your life. And she will hate you for the rest of hers.
And then let's see what goes wrong.
Well, it's problematic because it's still drug induced love. It's still like non-consensual in a way.
He sprays. Yeah, of course. We have to put the ethics aside.
No, I know. I'm not even saying it like to pontificate. I just like just it's a it, as a matter of
I'm
interest.
I'm trying to pick apart the magic system.
Yeah. Okay.
Here.
Yeah. You're right.
Because
you're right.
Something else happens in that he manages to get the love potion with the help of the maid of honor.
Yeah.
Who just accepts all of this.
We should say why.
Why what?
Why he needs to get number 9. Because Sandra and he briefly
there's a montage
fall in love. They don't really dwell on it any more than we have. They're like, oh, it turns out at some point they fall in love. There's a montage. They like
they,
go on a couple
really
dates.
They really meditate on the immoral, compelled like sex and relationships.
Yeah.
And they breeze by the like genuine, beautiful, like non-compelled relationship.
It's a weird choice. They forget to have like it seemed like they were filming this movie and they're like, oh, we forgot to have them fall in love, so we'll do like a 1 minute montage.
It's a 1 minute montage.
Where they're just like going on dates.
They go on dates, they end up in bed, they're doing crosswords on Sunday mornings,
yeah,
like
that's
they're gonna
it.
Like be together for the rest of their lives. He decides that he's gonna marry her.
Yeah. All
but
of
then
a sudden,
discovers that
she throws him over. For the booty call man from the beginning, who it turns out has stolen a love potion and got her in his thrall.
Here's
and
what's gone wrong.
Now we need number 9.
And here's where the movie sort of loses its own plot a little bit too, I think.
Yeah.
The maid of honor suspects something is going on.
Yeah.
Immediately believes the love potion thing.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Also, all of his male friends at first don't believe him, but then they all get tricked.
Yeah.
And then they're all on board too. So he's got a whole crew coming into this wedding. Sandra drinks the love potion number 9.
Correct.
Step one.
Right. But it's dangerous because if she didn't really love him, she would hate him forevermore. Love would die in her heart forever.
He has, I think, 5 minutes to kiss her.
He's got to do it.
Guess who comes in?
Snake Man.
Kisses her. Steals the kiss. You know what that means?
Yeah.
In 5 minutes, Sandra Bullock is going to realize that she's always hated him and leave him forever. Movie forgets about that.
Right.
Movie sort of loses track of its
It
own
loses
system.
That. It should have because, yes. Right.
Instead, Hercules goes back to the Roma woman and says, she drank the love potion number 9, but I didn't get the kiss in. The bad guy did. What do I do?
Right.
And she said, you have 5 minutes to kiss her.
Right.
And then whoever she loves most will win.
She said, drink from the same cup, then kiss. 5 minutes later, it will take effect. If your heart is willing and can be pleased, then wait and listen and hear a song from the breeze. So, you know, if you're willing to fall in love and, you know, 5 minutes after the big smooch, you'll hear this wind musical thing and whoosh, you're in love forever. But if your heart is stubborn and like the heart of a fool, you'll wait, hear nothing but taste the sweat of a mule. So, like, if you're an asshole and you're not willing to commit, then 5 minutes after the kiss, you'll taste mule sweat, which, you know, I imagine is pretty terrible. So, if I take this potion with Diane, I kiss her, 5 minutes later, assuming that she's still in love with me, number 9 will override number 8, no matter how much Gary takes of number 8. That's assuming that she's in love with me.
So, okay. That's the final rule.
That's the new rule.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, like, rule, like, 3B.
Okay, yeah.
Of love potion number 9.
Right. That's number 9.
So we know that. He does manage to get the kiss in.
Right.
And 6 minutes later, she
bursts
out of the...
It's important to the film that the love that ends up winning is magically induced.
Yeah.
They don't. The film somehow doesn't want there to be, like, love without some help from magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And the bad guy, I think, ends up going to jail, but I don't remember why.
He's, like, got a whole thing where he's got all this love potion. He's, like, bought up all the love potion in the state.
Yeah.
What a wild movie. Let me ask you a question.
But now we can do it if you want.
Well, first we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
But before that, I need to know, did you let me tell that whole Sarch story because you were genuinely interested in finding out what was going to happen? Like, what? Why? You've never let me get through, like, a sentence. And then this one, you were just, like, in rapt attention. I almost, like, couldn't finish telling the story because I was, like, waiting. I was waiting. It, like, worked on me because I was, like, waiting to be interrupted. I just, like, have never got that far.
I think once you told me that you were going to cut your own hero Heidegger down.
That's what you wanted to hear.
I wanted to see where it went.
Yeah. He doesn't look great, does he? Doesn't look great. He's a diminished man.
Yeah.
And he's, like, sucking up to this philosopher who he thinks totally misinterpreted his work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and a beloved philosopher who everyone sort of goes to.
Everybody likes Sarge.
I also think it's like, you want to say something smart, you say, like, what's his name? Jean-Paul Sartre?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sounds smart when you say it.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can dissect the magic system of this thing. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which
I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
We're back.
Hello.
Oh, you know what I wanted to say?
What?
Briefly, the thing that the trickster lady drinks, when she like mainlines the...
Oh yeah, it's like a big concentrated glob.
The concentrated glob, and that's what makes all the men. It's a lot, it reminded me a lot of, have you seen TMNT2, The Secret of the Ooze?
Yeah, but not since I was like 7.
Remember when Shredder drinks the ooze?
Kind of.
And then he
out.
Becomes Super Shredder?
Yeah.
That's just like that.
Maybe it's the same thing.
I think it's the same rules. Like, so maybe we can like throw that into our ooze? Magic system. Yeah.
We can bring ooze in?
It's kind of like that.
Turns you into... I guess on humans it has another effect.
Yeah.
On it... Well, no. Shredder's a human.
Yeah. It has the same effect on him. Well, it just makes him a bigger version of himself. With Bebop Buff. And Rocksteady, it turns them into like...
Humanoids.
It combines them with animals.
Right. Pigman.
Though, sorry, I should say it's Takar and Rezar in TMNT2, not Bebop and Rocksteady for some reason.
Bebop... I hate to get into the TMNT ooze.
Do you?
But if we're going to include it in the love potion analysis, we should talk about how it works. The TMNT ooze splashed on innocent turtles.
An animal.
And innocent rat. In the process, turned them into sentient teenage ninjas.
Though we should say that there are
the rat
origin stories for the rat. Some people say that he was Arukusaki's pet rat. But some people say he was actually his rival.
Ooze either way.
Yeah, but it matters because there's a question of whether the ooze acts differently on a human than it does on an animal.
We'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah, but the Splinter origin story is relevant because was Splinter a rat who became a sentient rat or a person who became a rat person?
No. He's definitely.
There are two. There are two competing origin stories
here.
For Splinter.
Well, one's wrong because
I'm sorry. Let's not.
I want to get down to
this.
The fundamentals of the magic system of the ooze first.
Okay,
you
fine.
You splash it on an animal. The animal turns into
a human version of itself.
Animal.
Right.
Humanoid as well.
Yes.
So we can say that. Let's accept that. Okay?
That's what happens with Takar. That's what happens with Razor.
Let's accept that.
Right?
Happens with Takar, happens with Radar, happens with the four Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
We can assume it happened to Bebop and Rocksteady.
It happens
too.
With Splinter in the version, the canon version where he's the pet rat.
Yes.
Yes.
We never see Bebop and Rocksteady's origin story.
Right.
We can assume it happened to them.
No, we do. In the cartoon, we see Bebop and Rocksteady, and that is actually relevant because in that, it's two dudes who are just stooges in the Foot Clan.
So now, this is the problem.
And then they're put in with a warthog and a rhino. So that's like a combined. They are like.
So who
combined.
Were the teen ninjas who got combined with the turtles?
That now it's sad because it's like four missing teenagers,
and a missing old man who is presumably they're like sensei.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked.
And then if it happens when you do it on a human, it just turns them into like a buffer version of themselves.
You know what? I gotta say,
angry.
I gotta say, for a film that's called The Secret of the Ooze, angry. It sure doesn't do a good job. Of saying what the ooze does. Because you and
well,
I...
Well, it keeps the secret pretty well.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Okay.
Now, that's confusing. The Bebop and Rocksteady thing, like, throws off the whole, like, magic system.
Because that's combining.
Because I guess it does two things then.
Yeah.
It can either fly, like, combine you.
Yeah.
Or, like, Genesis Bomb, like, evolve you.
Yeah. Is it an evolution thing? Is that what it
or
is?
Or it's like a barbarian rage drug.
Yeah.
If you're a human.
I find that deeply troubling.
So I think that's fine. I think there's some tight parameters on that, right? Give it to an animal.
It could do three
things. The animal
is
a genesis. It does genesis bomb, super evolves the animal into a humanoid.
Right. You give it to a human by themselves, they super evolve into a superhuman. So they just super evolution.
Yeah.
The thing that's weird is when it's the combination. That's the thing that's weird.
You put it in a small room with both an animal and a human.
Yeah, and the fly-like combine into a super evolved animal. Like Bebop,
it's not a super evolved animal. It's just they have the same personality they did going in. The personalities that the Ninja Turtles and Splinter grow up with, like after they're oozed, that's just their natural turtle and rat personalities.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. I think we have a system here where it's super evolution. But think about it. Here's the thought experiment I want to give you.
I think Love Potion number one is just ooze. I think that is experiment number one.
Great. Thank you for – and now that's all relevant. We don't have to cut it.
But let's try the ooze and see what happens. And we know what happens.
But I need you to walk with me on this thought experiment.
And that's why they called it Love Potion – let me finish this. That's why they call it Love Potion number one, because you look at little wormy, like, martial arts master Shredder, and you're like, that guy's, like, fit, but, like, I'm not attracted to him. And then he takes the, like, buff drug.
Yeah.
Like, the Venom, like, from Batman.
Yeah.
Juice. And he turns all big and buff and ripped up, and you're like, that makes me hot to trot. So that's Love Potion number one.
Okay, sure. That wasn't my experience of watching TMNT2 Secret of the Ooze when Shredder takes the Super Shredder
potion.
We have
to refine it, right?
Okay.
Because it does make him buff and hot, but it also makes him like super villainously crazy.
And we don't want that.
Right.
Okay, so we need 2 through 7.
So what can we either add or take away from Ooze for prototype number two? Probably take out the stuff that makes you mad.
So two is buff. So one is buff and mad.
Yeah.
Two is just buff.
Well, on a human.
On a human. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I have to give you this. Listen.
I think you can't take something out without adding something in. So two's got to be buff and something.
Okay.
And I think it's got to be something negative, but it can be something a little softer than like rage. Maybe it's like buff and inconsiderate.
Buff and inconsiderate. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Listen, thought experiment.
Yeah.
If you gave a warthog the ooze, what kind of a guy would you expect them to become? A Bebop type guy, right? They would become a Bebop. That's exactly what they would become.
I don't think so. A warthog is – I don't know a lot about warthogs, but I know enough to know that they like looking for mushrooms in the woods.
Yeah.
So I think if you – give ooze to a warthog without putting a man in there with it.
Okay.
It's going to evolve into...
like a truffle hunt.
Like the safari hunter from Jumanji.
Okay.
He's like, give me those mushrooms.
Okay.
Like, I'm singularly focused on getting mushrooms.
Okay, fine. Then I shouldn't have brought up the thought experiment because I was going to say it seems like an inconsistency that you get Bebop either way.
It's sort of odd that turtles and rats have a latent, like, martial arts aptitude.
No, Tanner, I hate to have to spend time on this because it's really only tangential to this film, though I think it is clearly the source for Love Potion number one.
Yeah.
The rat version of Splinter was the pet rat.
I know.
Of
But what about
a ninja master, and he mimicked the
What about the turtles?
Taught by Splinter.
So they just, when they were initially oozed, they just grew up to be Teenage Mutant Turtles.
Right.
And Splinter
the
trained
ninja
them
is not,
to
has
be,
nothing
sure.
to do. The ooze is not.
That's not latent. It was latent for Splinter. Because he was learned in his like.
It was. He was already that way. He was already a rat who could do ninja moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a separate question.
Well, that's, I think, just like. Shredder getting buffer.
Exactly.
Sort of develops something in you, you know?
Okay. So that's potion number one and two.
Yeah.
Buff and mean, buff and inconsiderate.
Three, I think what we can do is like, inconsiderate's not good, you know? We want that to be good.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have to take away buff. So let's come up with something a little softer that's good than for buff.
Yeah.
And a little softer that's bad for inconsiderate. So maybe you're like.
What about like tan?
Yeah. Like really tan.
Tan.
Like, you look like you've been at the beach all summer.
Tan, but forgetful.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's nice. Four, and then we're still, like, refining the ooze here.
Mm-hmm.
What's sort of, like, traditionally attractive? Maybe you have, like, really nice teeth.
It worked for Sandra.
Yeah.
But the thing, I think something we're forgetting is at some point, by the time it gets to Love Potion number 8, it's not actually changing you at all. It's changing
other
people.
No, I know. I think that's
people.
Why it's, we're sort of diluting the ooze.
Yeah.
We're trying to get from Shredder to Sandra Bullock in this movie.
Yeah.
Pre-makeover.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like one
and
of
that
those...
happens over the course of 8 potions.
Yeah.
So we soften up. We've got nice teeth and we are like... sometimes leave the seat up or whatever, you know?
Right.
And then for 5, it's like no physical change.
Nothing. You just stay the same.
And eventually, by 8.
Everyone's on number 5.
I think, oh yeah.
We're all on
that's
number
like
5.
They like put that in Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Like they're putting that in the drinking water, you
yeah.
know?
That's just, you're just who you are.
Yeah.
And so now we can start just changing something about how other people perceive you.
And I think by that point, the love potion is like the ooze has become so diluted that it's like, it's hard to even know what the machinations are.
Yeah.
But they've become non-physical and non-apparent. And they've moved into the realm of like auditory, you know? You sort of like, you become insatiable or you become like attractive to everyone around you, but it's at the cost of your own morals and principles.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And then we're just a hop, skip,
nuanced.
And a jump. Yeah. And that's beautiful. I just looked up the lyrics for Love Potion number 9 to see if it could help.
Yeah.
And
what does it say?
It's mostly about the Roma woman on 34th and Vine.
Okay. Is it any insights?
The song is wrong. It is okay. Only about the first 5 minutes of the movie. It's about a guy who goes to a Roma woman and is like, I am having
Do
trouble.
Do they get into Love Potions in love. Number 1 through 8 at all?
Well, in the song, the Roma woman says, what you need is Love Potion number 9. Which is not what happens in the movie.
No, she says
gives
number
him
8
number 8. It's very important.
He's not ready for 9.
Film. He's not ready for 9. And in fact, you kind of don't ever want 9, really. It's a pretty rare circumstance where you would want 9.
9 is a tough one.
Yeah.
Because it's like compelling love that already exists.
Yeah.
But then you shouldn't need to. Yeah, it's a tough one. She gives him 8. And then what's the song say about the ooze and number 1? And does it get into like the personalities behind any of the mutants?
There's something where he starts kissing everything in sight and then he kisses a cop and then he breaks the bottle.
Who does that? Shredder?
I think it's from the point of view of Shredder. Yeah. Is it Oroku Saki? Is that his real name?
That's why he's in so much trouble. That's why he's so angry. Jack,
yeah.
We're going to get kicked out of here in -3 minutes.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock uses Love Potion number 8 to manipulate men and worm her way into a position of power where she is dating...
The Prince of England.
The Prince of England.
It's not, yeah.
Got the most comically foppish, yeah. Like, British accent in the world. He's
yeah.
so good.
He did such a good job being, he was very convincing. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look familiar.
I'm the Prince of England. Ow. Oh, Paul, we're going to a charity art auction tonight. Would you like to come? You're not speaking. Why aren't you speaking? You notice Diane isn't speaking. Oh, you're playing the mute game again, aren't you? Yes, you are. She's playing the mute game again.
Really?
he's an American.
Oh, really? He crushed it.
Yeah.
He just, it's not even the accent. It's
Jamie
just like,
me.
He does something to his face that's like very British.
Yeah. He's really good at it. She installs herself in a position of power. She's been offered this opportunity to become a princess.
Right.
And as you can imagine, that would be, well, it was, it happened. It's mm-hmm. tabloid news when a British prince decides to marry an American, like, citizen.
Yeah.
And there is a sort of Entertainment Tonight like news story
mm-hmm.
at the 53 minute and 55 second mark.
Right.
And I thought you and I have some experience as dudes.
Yep.
Branding consultants.
Mm-hmm.
I think PR consultants.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? Who wouldn't go to us for PR?
And I think it's time we bring in the two prude segment producer consultants.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I love that. Two prude segment producer consultants. That's got a real ring to it.
Yeah. Here's what she says, and I think we can kind of help her, the news anchor.
Yeah.
Here's the story.
Okay,
and I think
yeah.
we can help her kind of like splash this up.
Give it to me. Yeah.
Prince Jeffrey may be turning in his wicked, wicked ways for American monkey psychiatrist Diane Farrell. Miss Farrell, who as a comparative psychobiologist has had considerable experience taming wild beasts, has tamed the untamable king of the jungle, Prince Jeffrey of York. As far as Buckingham Palace is concerned, sources tell us the Queen Mum is staying mum until she gets to meet the pretty American psychologist.
Okay, so we can fix this.
I think we need to.
The copy here is terrible.
I think we need to. Are we prude or are we crude?
So what? So you want these guys to make this sexier? Is that your idea here?
I think this is too veiled.
Okay.
I think we need if we want to move units.
You want to sex it up.
I've been hired to come in and make this bring eyeballs to your show, right?
Okay.
You want me to make you like a 20-second stinger.
Great. Okay, let me start off right now. I think Jeffrey, and no offense, I have a father named Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a...
Not a cool name.
It's not working for me. So can we find something that alliterates with prince, but that is kind of horny?
Oh, yeah.
Like the prurient prince?
Like the prince of pricks, or like...
that's going a little far, because I think we still want to tittle it. What about prurient? Because that, like, nobody really knows
what
that means.
What I love about prurient is I have no idea what it means.
Yeah. It means having or encouraging an excessive interest in sexual matters.
Sure.
That's perfect for us. And maybe we could be the two prurient PR consultants or segment producers.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so the prurient prince.
Prurient prince, and then we want to give him another name? Or could we just call him the prurient prince?
It does feel like it needs a third thing.
Of pricks.
Okay, fine. Fine, I'll allow it. The prurient prince of pricks. And then it says, maybe turning in his wicked, wicked ways, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, although I think it's like, wicked is one of those words where it could mean a lot of things. It could mean like, you know, like he made an agreement with a witch to like curse a baby.
Yeah.
Who he worried was going to be too beautiful someday.
And that would be a turnoff. Yeah. For most. Yeah.
I think we want to say, like, turning in his, like, horny ways or something, you know?
Perfect. That's perfect. And a lot of people would think we would want to use a second adjective, but I think the repetition is
horny,
what makes
horny
this.
Feels right, too, though, you know? Yeah. It feels good in your mouth saying it twice.
Okay. And so I think describing... So the next line is, for American monkey psychiatrist Diane Farrow. That
I think
immediately...
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. That worked for you.
You don't like it?
It kind of took me out of the mood. After horny, I wasn't expecting.
You're right.
Monkey
you're right.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah. After horny, it's not good. What rhymes with ape? Maybe it could be like
ape babe.
Ape babe. That's good.
It kind of sounds like she is an ape.
And let's say that's okay.
Yeah.
And let's say Sandra Bullock, because no one knows who Diane Farrow
is. Okay. For American ape babe.
Sandra Bullock. No one knows who Diane Farrow is. That doesn't mean anything.
Chimp pimp.
I mean, she does sort of cause two chimps to have sex.
What?
In the movie, so she is kind of a chimp.
Do you like that better than ape babe? Because chimp pimp.
I think honestly,
sounds like she's not a monkey.
Later, they say the pretty American psychologist, so I think we can always come back to ape babe.
Okay. All right, so we're ditching ape babe, but folks who got attached to ape babe, which I could understand that you would, don't worry.
Yeah, it's coming back. Miss Farrow, I guess we should just say the chimp pimp.
You could say Miss Bullock.
We could, but
yeah,
I feel like that's a little formal for us.
Sandy,
who has a comparative psychobiologist. That's nothing to me. Let's say, how do we sex up comparative psychobiology?
Sexobiology?
I like sexobiology. What about how about comparative?
That's too much for me. And I know that you plussed my idea, and then I feel bad kind of like nagging your idea, but I hated it.
Well, then I'm fine with you hating it, but you're going to have to be constructive.
No, I think you're right. You know what? Now that I'm looking at it, I'll just say it out loud.
Comparative sexobiology.
Yeah, it's...
That's grabby.
Yeah, it's grabby. And I don't like it, but I can see when an idea is good, and I have to admit that. Okay, so...
But then I do think we're going to go back to Miss Bullock.
Yeah.
Miss Bullock, as a comparative sexobiologist, has had considerable experience taming wild beasts. That doesn't make much sense.
What about just has had considerable experience?
Makes it sound like it's a job application. Like her resume. What does she have considerable experience with? Making monkeys hump.
What about in her field?
Of making monkeys hump.
Sure.
We were trying to make this a little hot, right?
Well, her field is sexobiology. So if you say she has had...
Has considerable experience...
In her field, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Good.
This is a run-on sentence, so we need to say that
Miss Bullock, who as a comparative sexobiologist has considerable experience in her field, comma, has tamed...
Yeah.
Comma, if you know what I mean, comma.
Mm-hmm.
Has tamed... The untamable king of the jungle. That doesn't make any sense. Pring Jeffrey. That doesn't make any sense for
no
the movie. No. He's the Prince of England, and he's like quite a dandy.
Yeah, he's the
probably
king
never
of the
been to a jungle in his life.
They definitely need our help here.
Has tamed the untamable king of the jungle, Prince Jeffrey of York. About has...
What's dirty, but like not so dirty?
Hand job? You, that's not what you meant. like first base? What's first? I don't know the bases.
Okay.
There seems to be a lot of gray area between the bases. It's something I hate to speculate on.
What about just is rounding the bases with? Is rapidly rounding the bases?
Here's what I love is they had sort of a nonsensical metaphor about him being the king of the jungle.
So we got
we're going to take that.
That
out.
Yeah.
And we're going to replace it with a nonsensical metaphor about baseball.
Perfect. Is rapidly rounding the bases, and now we can just say like baseball king.
How about like the big bomb? What was Babe Ruth called?
The big bopper? No.
No, the Bambino.
Yeah.
With the Bambino of, and then something like,
with the Bambino of
Britain.
Of Britain, the baseball Bambino of Britain. That's beautiful. And that's kind of sexy too, if you think about what rounding the bases mean.
Comma, Prince Jeffrey of York. So, can you read that sentence back to me? I'm worried it's long, but I think it's actually probably okay.
I think it's going to sound great. Ready?
Yeah.
Whole sentence.
Miss Bullock.
Miss Bullock, who is a comparative sexobiologist, has had considerable experience in her field, if you know what I mean.
It's a confusing sentence. Miss Bullock, who as a comparative sexobiologist has considerable experience in her field, if you know what I mean.
I think we just have
to say... Has tamed the untamable king of...
And she's. Okay, so that's going to work. It's trust me on this,
that scans. Yeah.
We just need a final sentence to land this, which the sentence is, as far as Buckingham Palace is concerned, sources tell us the Queen Mum is staying mum.
Not bad.
That's great. So we want to keep that structure, but different words, until she gets to meet the pretty American psychologist.
And that's where we can put in 8 babe, I think.
I want to throw something out at you right now. It's a little crude, but sometimes you need a blunt instrument.
Yeah.
As far as Buckingham Palace is concerned.
Great. sources tell us the Queen Mum is staying mum until she gets to meet the pretty American ape babe.
Right, so we need the American ape babe because we did promise.
Yeah.
I think if we can do something with that beat, Queen Mum is staying mum.
How about like... This is just sort of a different joke, but we could say Queen Mum is saying Or we could sort of imply that the Queen Mum... No, the Queen Mum would be really angry, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I kind of like saying Or yum.
Yum. Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe the Queen Mum is sort of attracted to...
Yeah, why not?
Sandra
She's too. An ape babe. Okay, I think we got it here. You want me to read this back to you? And do you want me to read it back to you in like a
The Queen Mum is saying yum about the pretty American ape babe.
Great. Perfect.
Let's read the whole thing back.
Do you need me to try to do like newscaster for this?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The prurient Prince of Pricks may be turning in his horny ways for American chimp pimp Sandra Bullock.
Good.
Miss Bullock, who is a comparative sexobiologist, has had considerable experience in her field, if you know what I mean. And she's rapidly rounding the bases with the baseball Bambino of Britain, Prince Jeffrey of York. As far as Buckingham Palace is concerned, sources tell us the Queen Mum is saying yum until she gets to meet the pretty American ape babe.
That's great.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Wow, I would watch that news network.
That's leading the hour.
Yeah, and I'll take off now. I'll just collect my fee.
What are we now? The prurient...
The two prurient...
Segment
producer consultant.
I think we're going to be seeing more from these guys.
I hope so. All right, Jack. Yeah. You, the bet has resolved.
Yeah.
It's 12:47.
Yeah, people didn't know we had a bet.
The 12:30 window has come and gone.
Yeah.
We were, thought we were going to get kicked out. We haven't.
Yeah.
We can really stretch out our legs
that
now.
We are the only people who ever book this recording booth and actually use it. And that I also bet that sometimes people book it and don't use it.
Maybe they just come to like nap.
Yeah.
All right, Jack. What else we have to do?
I think we mostly have to get out of here unless you want to do a quick burn.
My burn was the news announcer calling.
That's great. You know what? As just kind of putting myself into the headspace of somebody who's editing this, I'm going to be really thrilled if I don't have to add another burn. No burns for me this week. That's what's going to happen. We're going to leave. We're going to go.
We're done.
We're done.
We're out of the world. Yeah. The summer is over.
The summer, like all
the leaves are turning.
Has come to an end.
The air is getting frigid.
Kids are going back to school.
Kids are back in school.
Yeah.
Basketball season's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Football season just started.
And that means we have to leave Sandra Bullock behind.
Yeah.
Now, we have a list.
Yeah.
You and I sort of generated a quick list.
Yeah. Let's take a look at what we generated.
You came at me with...
Autumn of Aubrey.
Autumn of Aubrey. I thought you meant Aubrey Plaza. You meant Aubrey Hepburn. Don't want to watch Aubrey Hepburn movies. Too boring.
Are they both Aubrey or is one of them Audrey?
Don't know.
Yeah.
I think Audrey Hepburn is maybe Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Rachel McAdams.
That's you. Yeah. Gary Marshfall.
Gary Marshfall, if we want to go director.
That's pretty good. And there are some. There are a lot of those movies. We've done a few of them.
Done a couple, yeah. Yeah. Hanksgiving.
Oh, so good. Perfect.
Ryan Fosling. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
Well, I pitched Q3 with Julie.
Q3 with Julie.
Roberts.
That's not bad. Yeah. You did Spooky J-Loween.
Spooky J. Loween is fucking great, too. That's was me there. As well. Yeah.
We had another one. Oh, Chris Rock. What was your rock block?
Rocktober. Yeah.
We could do Chris Rock's movies.
Yeah.
His romantic movies.
There aren't a lot, but there's enough to fill a Rocktober. Yeah.
So I guess, and then we will have decided on one of those by next week.
Yeah. Well, or something else. But it's going to be a content block.
We're headed into another one for the fall.
Yeah, for the fall.
Keeps us honest.
It keeps us honest, yeah. I like a content block. I think we like content blocks now.
And, you know, I think...
No one's complained,
it helps us really stay focused on romance, which I think is helpful for sort of the core mission of the show.
Yeah, perfect. This is a love story.
Yeah, this is a romance.
It's a fun... you know what? I'll tell you, if you're thinking about whether or not to watch this movie or not, it's a lot better than the Rotten Tomatoes score.
It's like a weird movie and it's bizarre and it's more like a Disney movie than an actual like movie.
Yeah, but it's pretty fun.
It's pretty well written and funny.
Yeah, and Sandra's in it. She's great.
Yeah.
And thus the summer of Sandra came to an end.
Yeah.
I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank the Bee Babies and the Bug Babies and the Baby Nation so very much for bearing with us. We love you.
Hey. Yeah, I love you.
Kiss you.
Yeah, I kissed you.
I would like to say that everybody has to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We sing the descriptions. Thank you to everybody who's done it. We really appreciate having you in there. We really like making those episodes. And yeah. We would like to have more people listen to them because they're good. And also it helps to support the show. So check it out. If you've been waiting to pull the trigger, now is a great time to jump in. We're really cooking with gas on the TGIF shows. And you don't have to watch them because we describe them in song sometimes.
Yeah.
Most times. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Join the Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Hey, why not rate and review the show? It helps. Thank you to people who have done
that. Just go do it.
Share it with a friend, too.
Get off your ass.
Okay.
Jesus.
What Tanner said, but in a nice way.
For free every week, and you do jack shit for us.
Perfect.
Buy the merch, too.
I've realized if I go too long, you start insulting the listeners and undo all the work that I've done.
I'm helping you.
It's a lesson for me to keep it concise. All that remains is for me to say this week, watch film. Film we watched was, of course, called Love Potion Number 9 by Sandra Bullock and Hercules. Next week, it's who knows? You'll know. We'll know. But we don't know now. So it's something. It's yeah. Hanktober. We'll find out.
Wasn't even one of the options. All right, Jack.
All that remains now is for me to say that this week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Green.
And I hope you find your... chemistry ever after. We might be childhood friends.